With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is Lisa Tarvis. I'm your host of Just Believe Radio on the Right Stream Network. I am wishing everyone a happy Sunday as well as a happy Memorial Day weekend. I am a metaphysician, board certified holistic health practitioner, intuitive, and author. Every Sunday we are on at 1 p.m. and today is the first Sunday that I am actually going to start juggling two guests on one show. So if I screw it up, give me a break. I'll be better next time, I promise. So hopefully I don't hang up on anybody or totally get confused, but hit wrong buttons. You know, that's what I don't want to do. Anyway, every week we have special guests who are experts in the fields of metaphysics, spirituality, holistic health, and the paranormal. And today we're covering a couple of those areas. We have two guests on that one is going to talk to us about how we can become psychic very quickly with her book called Decoding the Pendulum, which we'll talk about in a second. And then we have another guest on. The second guest today is a demonologist. Well, I don't know if that's actually what he is, but he's a paranormal expert and he runs a website called Demonology 101, which I'm fascinated about and I can't wait to talk to him about. Before we get started, I just want to say a quick thank you to all of our veterans, whether they're active duty soldiers, veterans, or whatever. Thank you for the sacrifices that you continue to make every day on our behalf. And if you are a family member who has lost a soldier due to their service to our country, thank you for your sacrifice as well. We appreciate it, and thank you every day. Unfortunately, there are only a day or two a year that we actually designate as being, days that we want to make a special say a special thank you, but we appreciate it every day. And I appreciate all of the veterans and the active duty soldiers that are listening today. So now back to the show. I want to introduce my first guest, who is she's got a lot going on. She's a very, very interesting person. Her name is Nicole Guillaume, and she is the author of the best-selling book, Decoding the Pendulum, Become a Psychic in Seconds. She is also a tarot card reader, Reiki practitioner, certified angel healer, and an intuitive and dream interpreter. She is the owner of Guiding Echoes, which offers intuitive insights for those who need guidance and direction in their lives. So I have lots of questions for her, of course, because all of this is interesting to me. And she just told me before we got started that she's going to be offering an online tarot class, which I told her I'm going to be the first one to sign up for, because I've always let tarot overwhelm me a little bit, and I definitely want to learn how to read tarot cards. So she'll talk to us about everything she's got to offer and about her amazing book. So I want to introduce Nicole Guillaume. And Nicole, are you with me?
Yes, I'm right here.
Yay. And I pronounce your name right?
You did. You did a very good job. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I had last week, when I was telling everybody about our next week's guests, I like completely was butchering it, and I'm like, okay, so I got to learn how to pronounce this. But it's Guillaume, I guess. Guillaume, right?
Yes, it's Guillaume. And I heard your pronunciation last week, and I actually thought it sounded better than the way it's pronounced, so I may have to switch it up some.
Are you allowed to do that? I'm not really sure.
I don't know if it's allowed or not, but I've always been a rebel, so what's one more rule to break?
There you go. I like the idea. I like the idea of being a rebel for sure. So, Nicole, let's talk about – I want to talk about a lot of things, but let's talk first about how did you come to have so many different spiritual talents? I mean, are they all natural? Did you study, these different areas? How did this all come about?
That's a really good question. When I was a child, I had the ability to interpret dreams. And people would come up to me and tell me about their dreams, and I would be able to interpret it for them, and they would almost always just their jaw would hit the ground. So that's something that I would consider my natural intuitive gift is dream interpretations. And also, I would say probably in my 20s was when I was able to meet my spirit guides through meditation, and not even through conscious meditation, just relaxing or before I'd go to bed. When I'd have my eyes closed, I'd start to see them and feel them around me. So no one really taught me how to do that. So those are, I think, the two gifts that I had that were more intuitive and just came to me naturally. As far as everything else goes, Reiki, tarot readings, the angel healing, those are all things that were taught to me. In fact, pendulums, which we're going to talk about later, is also something that was taught to me as well. And I think that that's really encouraging for a lot of people who are interested in opening up their spiritual gifts. There seems to be this stigma that every gift you have has to be intuitive. And that's not necessarily true. Everyone's already intuitive in some way, shape, or form. But there are a lot of things that you can do, excuse me, to learn and build those skills. So for people who want to become more intuitive and want to become tarot readers or intuitive healers, they can absolutely do that. So they don't have to wait for some beaming light from God to say, oh, you're a healer now. You know, they can take the initiative to find a Reiki class near them or pick up a good book, and they can learn this on their own.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, and that's some of the things that I always try to explain to my clients too. Is we are all born intuitive. We are all born psychic, and we just sometimes don't know how to approach it. You know what I mean? We don't know how to make ourselves more aware of how to use it. You know. I like the idea of, you know, being able to do that and to get people to understand that it is natural inside all of us, and that those of us that are doing this, you know, as our work, and doing this sort of thing, are doing it because we've just kind of either naturally or, you know, however, you know, even by just education and learning, learn how to tap into it, you know, and make it work for us.
Absolutely. And another thing for people to keep in mind is that tarot cards, pendulums, those are all just tools. Those are tools to open your intuition, because the intuition, the power, and the magic, it's all inside of you. You just have to believe. See how I put that in there? Just believe.
Thank you. Very nicely done. Nicely done.
But, they're all just tools, and they help to awaken your intuition. And after you've used, I think, tarot or pendulum. Hello?
Hello, are you there?
What happened?
All of a sudden there was this dead silence. I'm like, what happened?
Yeah, I heard this voice say you were out of the queue. I'm like, wait, what?
That's either a blog talk thing, probably a blog talk thing. You're still in the queue. Don't worry.
Oh, okay. I was like, wow, I was kicked off. What did I do to upset Lisa?
Yeah, it's pretty hard to upset Lisa. Don't worry.
Of live interviews.
I know, right? Right. This is why people pre-record their shows. I swear,
right.
We can cut this stuff out. I think it makes it more fun. All the goof ups make it funnier. Anyway, bloopers. Exactly. I'll have a blooper show one day. That'd be fun. Anyway, so I want to give everybody the call-in number. If you have any questions for Nicole, she is able to do, I'm assuming you can do intuitive dream interpretation online or on live. Yes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you can do, like with callers? There's another bloop. with live callers that might call in?
Sure. If anyone wants to call in, I could give them like a free tarot reading. That's always a good deal, right?
Yeah, everybody likes that. That's fun.
Yeah.
I can't wait for your class, I swear. We'll talk lots about that in a little bit. But anyway, the phone number to call in for everyone is 347-945-7246. Again, that's 347-945-7246. If you press 1, you'll be in the queue. The chat room is also open, and I do have a question already in the chat room that I want to ask you about. My dear friend Beth, who is in the chat room, has she wants to know what you think about using standard playing cards for readings. And that's actually a good question because I've heard that they work really well. I've never done it because I don't understand how you do it. But do you know anything about that?
Standard playing cards you can use. They're a bit more difficult because that requires memorizing the cards and what they mean. So, for example, you have actually 5 suits in the tarot card. You have the Major Arcana. And don't worry, I don't expect anybody to remember this. I'm just giving you some information right now. So you have the Major Arcana, and then you also have 4 other suits, which is the Swords, the Cups, the Coins, and I'm totally drawing a blank. Oh, the wands. So those are the 4 suits that you – or the 5 suits that you have in the tarot. So where you have hearts, pentacles, or whatever it is in the tarot cards, of course, that's going to be replaced by your spades, hearts, diamonds, and clubs. The thing about tarot cards is tarot cards each have pictures on them, typically. Your typical set has pictures on them. And it's through the pictures that you're really able to get a lot out of your readings. So playing cards can be more difficult, especially if you're just learning how to use cards for divination, because they don't have the pictures on them. So it requires a lot more memorization, and I also think it requires some knowledge of numerology. So there's a lot more going on there when you use a regular playing deck of cards. But yes, absolutely, you can do it. I've done it a couple times, and it's a lot of fun. But
yeah,
I've never done it.
So it does require some kind of, you know, understanding of numerology and things like that.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I have a little bit of understanding of numerology, and because I've worked with tarot long enough, I have some of the cards and the meanings memorized, so I can simply apply that to the playing cards. But overall, I enjoy the pictures on the tarot cards. I think those are a lot of fun, and they're easier to read. So if you're wanting to learn how to use cards for divination, I definitely recommend a tarot deck over a set of playing cards.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I told you before when we were talking about, well, I mean, we talked about this when I was first booking you for the show too, I wanted so much to learn tarot that I'd been working on it, and really not having a huge amount of success. And when you said about your class, I'm like, that's what I just need somebody to explain it to me. I don't have time to do all this reading and this, you know, this stuff to really learn it, you know, to that deep of a level. But that's why I'm so excited. But anyway, let's get back to your book a little bit and talk about that.
Sure.
So what made you decide to write Decoding the Pendulum? What was your muse, so to speak?
when I wrote Decoding the Pendulum, it was partly out of frustration because I had learned all about pendulums when I had taken a Reiki class. I had gotten my first attunement, and there was a girl there who had her pendulum with her, and she began asking me questions and telling me all about pendulums, and I was fascinated by it because I had never seen one before, or I had seen them. I just didn't know what the heck they did. So seeing it in action, I became so giddy and excited, and I just had to have one. And I had heard from other people in that class that they were excited to use their pendulums for healing. And I thought, oh, that's really cool. I can combine Reiki and healing with the pendulum. So being the go-getter that I am, I ordered a ton of pendulum books. They had like this big stack. And I just knew that one of them had to have the healing information in it that I was looking for.
Right.
None of them did. Not one. Mm-hmm. Not one of them had that information in it. So that was frustrating. And so I began to work with my pendulum, and I learned how to use it for healing both intuitively and just from information that I picked up from some of my friends and what worked for them and other articles that I had read through various resources. And so just through trial and error, I kind of came up with my own method that seemed to work really well for me, and then I tested it with some of my friends to see what they thought of it, and it was just wildly successful for all of us. We all had great results out of it. And so it was from that experience that I decided to go ahead and write Decoding the Pendulum so that people could get information on how to use it to heal. But there's also other information in the book as far as that tells you how to connect with your spirit guides, your guardian angels, loved ones who have passed on. So it's more than just healing. There's really so much that you can do with a pendulum that is unbelievable. And through my own experiences and what's happened, you know, what I've seen happen through a pendulum, I just had to get all that information out there because they are just too amazing for people to not be able to get the whole spectrum. And what's awesome about pendulums is they work very, very quickly.
So I love pendulums. That was the first thing I ever used as a divination tool was a pendulum. And I swear to everybody, it is, like I've always said, I bet it was probably 85 to 90% accurate, dead on, every time. And that's high. That's a high. I mean, for something that's, you know, that's a tool like that, I think it's really, that was a high accuracy rate. And I think sometimes the reason that wasn't accurate was because I was doing something wrong. It wasn't the pendulum that wasn't giving me the right answers. And I used it definitely as a yes, no, you know, kind of thing. I don't use it very often. So you'll have to explain that. How do you use it for healing?
When you go to use a pendulum for healing, there's actually two different ways you can use it, because most pendulums are made with stones that already have some healing qualities to them.
Right.
So one of the things I've done, and I guess this is almost like a cheating method, is with my clear quartz, if I have a headache, I end up just putting the pendulum right on my head. I'll put it right near the spot that's hurting, and I just kind of visualize the I don't even think I'm visualizing it. I think the pendulum is showing me that it's healing that headache, and so I'll receive like this vision of the pendulum just sucking out that energy that's causing the headache, and it kind of lights up.
Couldn't you just use a chunk of the stone then? I mean, so you wouldn't really need, like, I have a bunch of pendulums as well. I'm a pendulum addict myself, and I have an amethyst one, and I think that one works really well for headaches, but I don't necessarily go looking for the pendulum or, you know, go pull it out of its little place I keep it, but I'll just grab an amethyst stone and use that.
Right.
So it's actually the energy of the stone, the healing properties of the stone that are fixing the problem.
Yeah, for that method it is. That's why I'm saying I'm cheating. My stones are all connected to pendulums, so I just put it right. The other method that you can use that works really well is you can put your hand out and you visualize like whatever your pain is or your issue, you visualize it being on your hand, and then what you do is you take your pendulum and you hold it directly over your hand. because that's where we're placing that energy. So you hold the pendulum over your hand and you ask it to begin to heal that energy. And what it will do is it will start to swing. For me, it swings in circles. For other people, it might swing back and forth. But okay. What it's doing is it's actually clearing that energy out for you. So that's the method that I like the most. And you can visualize different lights.
Can you use it for like a scan, like scanning to see where the energy block is in a body?
Yes. So if someone's laying down, you don't even need a person. In fact, you can use a chart. In my book, Decoding the Pendulum, there is a chart in there that you can use. And so you just take your pendulum and you run it up and down the body or up and down the chart that you're using to represent that person. And wherever the block is, the pendulum will start to move. So that's a really cool tool to use to be able to find blockages in the body. And then once you find it, you can just hold your pendulum right over it. And it'll begin to spin, and it's clearing that energy out for you. So you don't even have to Reiki or anything like that. You can just let the pendulum do all the work.
Yeah, hey, I like that idea. That sounds
good.
I have another question in the chat room, and the question is, can you make a pendulum? Or do you have to buy a pendulum? Like the person in the chat room is saying that they have a stone that she's carried with her for a long time, and she's had it with her for years that she kind of feels very connected to. So could she use that to somehow make her own pendulum, or would that not work?
I think that would make the best pendulum on the face of the planet is one that you already have a connection to the stone. So, yes, absolutely, you can make your own pendulum.
What would you do?
You just need to find a way to connect that weight to a chain. That's really all you need to do. So if you want to become more creative, like if you see my pendulums, which you can't because this is radio, you'll see that I have other stones going along the chain. So the big, of course, my big stone's on the bottom because that needs to create the weight, but then I have little ones along the chain. So you can do whatever it is that you want. You can make it pleasing to the eye, or you can make it as simple or as complex as you want.
Yeah, I think that's it. They actually do sell this little, you can find it in a lot of metaphysical stores or online. It's like a little spiral thing where you can put, and it's on like, so you can wear it around your neck or something. So it's like a little spiral thing that you put the stone inside of it, and then you can kind of like squish it and like, you know, just make it so it's wrapped really well. It's like wiring kind of, only it's set up specifically to hold a stone. And then you could just put that on a chain. I guess that would make that would do a really, you know, that would probably work really well. And those things are so cheap too. I mean, to buy one of those wire things they're like, you know, a couple dollars. So it's really, it's kind of a great idea if you've got a stone that you're so connected with. Cause I agree, if there's a stone that you're that connected with already, you know, that just makes it so much more powerful. You know, I was really connected. I had a pendulum that I used, and this is a strange story, but I actually got mad at it. And this is, you know, something that I'd love to hear your answer, your opinion on is, I used to use, like I said, I was very attached to my pendulum. I carried it with me absolutely everywhere I went. And it was an amethyst with a quartz point and a, like, quartz ball on top. And it was so amazing, and it always gave me great answers. And I got a call. My mom had knee surgery, and I got a call from my dad that they expected her to die. And she was 68 years old, and she just had knee replacement surgery. So I'm like, what? So we all go ripping down to Florida, you know, like crazy people. And I get there, and I keep asking the pendulum, is my mom going to die from this? Is she going to die from this? And it kept saying, no, 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 no. And I came home, she died, and I came home and I refused to touch that pendulum. I wouldn't carry it with me. I was so angry at it because it had lied to me. And then I had somebody from a metaphysical store that I know very well who said, you know, Lisa, you do realize that you completely manipulated that pendulum because you didn't want to hear the truth. you know, you didn't want it to say, yeah, your mom's going to die. So your mind basically controlled it to say, no, she wasn't going to die. Do you think that's possible?
It's absolutely possible. And it's one of the reasons why some people get completely inaccurate answers when they talk to their pendulum. Because the thing to keep in mind is that we are the channel that is controlling that pendulum. So the energy of the angels or our guides or whoever is using the pendulum to speak to us is using our own, is using basically our own auras, our own energy surrounded by our body. And it's also believed that they speak to us through our subconscious mind as well. So
yeah,
what can happen?
What's going on.
Yeah, so what can happen, and this has happened to me too. I already know that if I am too attached to a situation, I cannot ask my pendulum anything because I do influence the answers, and it's almost always wrong. So when you're really attached to something, when there's something going on and you're emotionally attached to that situation, it's hard to clear your mind and get your body into that state of relaxation so that whatever powers are around you can communicate with you authentically and honestly. And so we, by the emotional weight that we have towards the situation, we're creating our own blocks. So we can't really get mad at the pendulum because the pendulum's just doing its job. It's responding to the message that, the signal that we're sending out.
Yep.
And
yep.
So even though we prefer the signal to come from our guardian angels or higher self or whatever deity it is that you believe in, we can't help but to influence it when it's a situation that is that close to us.
Yeah,
so
sorry
to hear about your mom.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me it was just like I always thought that it was the angels controlling the pendulum. So I was, you know, but I wasn't mad at the angels. I was mad at the pendulum. It was very strange. But once I got, you know, once somebody like rationalized it for me and I was like, wow, that was really stupid. So, you know, it was really silly of me to be mad at this object that has been so right on so many times. And just this, you know, this one time with something that I was obviously so emotionally attached to. It also taught me as an intuitive, you know, as a reader, that any situation that I am too close to, I can feel now that I'm influencing it. You know, I'm influencing the reading because I care about the outcome. You know, I have to disconnect myself, and that's not easy to do. You know, when you're reading a friend or a family member or for yourself, that's why I think we're so bad at reading for ourselves a lot of times.
Well, and also sometimes what can happen and with your situation, this might have been the case, is we'll ask a question and, for example, you asked, is my mom going to die? And the pendulum said no. But the spirit world views death very differently than we do. So the pendulum was right in saying your mom wasn't going to die because she didn't die. She just crossed over. Your soul can never die. So maybe the pendulum or whatever beings were around that were manipulating the pendulum were not necessarily lying. It was just answering the question in a different way than you were asking it. So it interpreted it as something completely different.
I was aware of that at the time, and I actually was very specific in saying, is she going to, I didn't say, is she going to die? Is her physical body going to leave this plane, and because of the she had ended up with something called ARDS, which is acute respiratory distress syndrome, is that what's going to take her now, you know? So I had to, you're right, I had to phrase it perfectly because I kept saying, is my mom going to die? Well, if someday she's going to die, so then I'm like, you know, more specific, is she going to die from this? And then I was like, wait a minute, your soul doesn't die. So, you know, so you're right. I had to keep correcting myself, you know, and being really, really specific. And my dad has always been a big believer in the pendulums as well. And so, you know, he's paying attention to me using this thing, and we're like, oh my God, she's going to be okay. She's going to, you know, and then of course that's not how it worked out, but you know, it's just, I think it's a very powerful, powerful tool that you have to phrase the questions correctly if you're going to use it for the yes or no kind of answers. And you have to, just with every other crystal that you use, you have to, the pendulum or the crystal needs to understand what its job is, what it's supposed
Absolutely.
To be doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I think that's a big part of it. Everybody, all the listeners, if you want to call in and ask Nicole a question, you can call us at 347-945-7246 and press 1 and you'll be in the queue, and I will get you as soon as there's an appropriate moment. Also, the chat room is open, and I am checking in as often as possible to see if there is if there are any other questions. You have a compliment. I put your on the website, Nicole. I put your website on the in the chat room, and you're getting compliments on it being a very nice site with lots to read. So, everybody, go visit www.guidingechoes.com. GUIDINGECHOES.com, and apparently there's some really great information there. I know I was on it, but I haven't been on it in the last few days. So, but I remember it was a great site. So everybody probably enjoy listening to or reading the information that Nicole has on there. So tell me more about your book. What did you like? What was the most interesting thing about writing it? I mean, I wrote a book too. It's hard. Writing a book is a lot of work, but it's also incredibly rewarding. But you know, there are parts of it that are more enjoyable than others. What did you find most enjoyable?
I think what I found most enjoyable was feeling that connection to source while I was writing it, because there were times where I felt like the book was literally writing itself. So even though I had an idea of how I wanted it to go, it was like spirit came in here and said, nope, we're not phrasing it that way. Let's try this instead. And so I had what I call happy fingers that were just typing along, and everything was just coming through so clearly and so perfectly. And I would say just kind of getting into that zone and working with spirit as a partnership is what was most enjoyable.
Right.
And then there was also that 3-month lull where I couldn't write anything.
I had one of those too.
you get this extreme writer's block.
I know, it's horrible. I don't even know if it's writer's block. It's all of a sudden if I look at this book one more time, I'm going to cry.
Right. Yeah, I have another book. Well, I've got two other books that I'm working on right now, and it's like I have writer's block on both of them at the same time, and that's frustrating. Because what would happen is, as a writer, you get stuck on this, you know, one book. So you're like, okay, well, I'll put that aside, and then I'll work on this one. So you work on that one a little bit. You get blocked. Okay, no problem. I'll go back to this one. I can't work on either of them right now.
I remember the frustration there. So what do you think? What do you think the readers like reading most in your book?
You know, that's a great question, and I'm not entirely sure what they like most. Because I'm getting such good feedback from everyone who's read it. I think the two things that people like the most, or that I'm getting the most feedback on, is probably the section that talks about clearing your pendulums. Pendulums absorb a lot of energy, especially if you're using them for healing. So it's important to know how to clear them so that they don't become blocked and give you incorrect answers, or so that they can continue doing their job as the little healers that they are. So
right.
There's a section out there that's all about the different ways of clearing your pendulums, which in reality is no different than clearing your stones in the first place. I would say that the second thing that people really enjoy is the section that talks about connecting with your loved ones or your guardian angels. I think a lot of people who work with pendulums aren't really clear on who's working the pendulum. So I think that section is enlightening for people who have always kind of asked, like, why does this work? I know it works, but why? And if I remember correctly, I haven't read my own book in a while, so I think that I put down how you can consciously touch base with the guardian angel or the ascended master that you want to connect with.
Right.
So you don't have to allow the pendulum to just be an open doorway for whoever wants to come talk to you. In fact, I think sometimes that can be kind of dangerous. But you can consciously decide who you want to come visit you and who you want to speak to. And that's something that's always very fun and enlightening.
Where can people, just so we know, I'm sure there's a link on your website at guidingechoes.com, but where can people get the book? Is it available on Amazon and all of that stuff?
It's available only on Amazon right now. So,
okay.
Yes, Coding the Pendulum, Become a Psychic in Seconds. It's on Amazon.com. And it's only $6.99, so that's pretty cheap for all the information that's in there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's a great price. Is it downloadable as an ebook? Is that it?
Yeah. Yes, it's
okay.
An ebook.
Okay. All right. I've got a caller on the line. I want to just see if they have a question. Hold on 1 second. Area code 770. Do you have a question for Nicole?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Oh,
you can go ahead and ask. You're live on the air.
Yes, I would like to know about my love life.
So you want a tarot reading on your love life?
Uh-huh.
Do you have anything specific going on? Like, are you in a relationship right now?
No.
No, okay. And what is your name?
My name is Daphne.
I'm sorry, you broke up. What was your name?
Daphne.
Daphne, okay. So let me shuffle my cards here. And we're going to ask about your love life. So what I'm going to do is a three-card spread. It's very simple. And it's just going to give me a quick glance on what's going on. So I assume but when you ask about your love life, you're asking if anyone new is going to come along. Is that what you want to know?
Why?
Okay. Let me just shuffle a couple more times. Okay. What I see here is did you have a relationship in the past? It looks like you had a relationship in the past that was actually pretty good. But the interesting thing is it's not telling me what happened there, but it looks like there was someone in your past that was, it seemed like it was going well for a while, and for whatever reason that didn't pan out the way that you wanted it to be. And it looks like that kind of shook you up. So I see that the reason you're asking this question is kind of out of fear. You're not sure if anyone's going to be coming along. And the third card that I have here just kind of shows you constantly waiting. But here's the thing. Here's the overall vibe that I'm getting from the cards. And you can tell me if I'm right or not. But I feel like you're very protected right now. You're afraid of getting hurt. And I think it's that fear that's kind of preventing you from finding someone that's compatible with you right now. So I feel as if you're kind of standing there with the picture I'm looking at on the tarot is a girl who's holding her sword, and it's like she's up in a tree, she's holding a sword, she's looking down. And what I'm getting from this picture is that's kind of you. That's kind of your view on things right now. So it's like you're kind of watching everyone and watching everything, but you're kind of hiding in the background, and you have this sword, and you're ready to pounce on anyone who's getting ready to hurt you. So even though you're asking about your love life, I feel like there's some issues that you need to work out, because I guess what I'm saying is you're not completely open to it right now. You're still in a state where you're self-protective and defensive, and those guards need to come down a little bit. So you need to learn how to trust others, and trust yourself, but the cards are not showing me that in the near future that anyone it's not showing me anyone in your near future, but I think that's because the cards are just telling me that you have some work that you need to do on yourself so you can find the right person that you'd be compatible with. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's probably a block. It's probably just there's some sort of, when you put up those walls, I think so much of the time it's, you're almost pushing people away without even knowing you're doing it, because you're so afraid of being hurt because of something that happened in the past. And that makes a lot of sense.
Does that sound right, Daphne?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I feel like what you need to do is really take some time for yourself and find a way to get over those blocks that you have. I don't know what your blocks are, and that's none of my business, but I really feel like what you need to start doing, and this is what I'm seeing is in my mind, is you need to find ways that you can bring joy into your life. This isn't something that your spirit guides want you sitting around thinking about all the time. They want you to start taking care of yourself and learning how to enjoy your own company. There's an old saying that when I'm alone, I'm in good company. It's one of my favorite sayings because I love being by myself. I think it's the greatest thing ever. You don't have to answer to anybody. You can do what you want. But I feel like in order for you to attract love, you really need to put yourself in a position where your vibration is higher. And what I mean by that is that your joy for life is abundant and it's there. It's noticeable. So you need to work on having some fun even when you're by yourself. And I feel like you're not, this is going to sound weird, but you're not moving enough. And by moving, it could even be just getting up and dancing and letting your body flow and move so that you can allow that energy, that fun, vibrant, life-fulfilling energy to move through you. And so Lisa was saying there's a block there, and the best way to remove that block, it seems like, is going to be some form of exercise or dancing. I just keep hearing dancing over and over in my head. So do you dance, Daffy?
Yeah.
Turn on the radio, start putting on some good music, dance in the privacy of your own room, sing in the shower. But you have to start finding ways to love yourself and move your own energy. And that should help remove the block. But that's kind of what I'm getting from your reading. That's what I'm seeing your guides are showing me as well.
Hey. Make
sounds
sense?
Like good advice.
How you doing?
Yeah. Hello?
Hi. Do you have any other questions?
Well, I want to... And my dad, he doesn't want to trust me much, his son anymore. So I have full custody of him, and now he has to pay child support, but he doesn't have a job. And I said, do you see him paying me child support and finding a job anytime soon?
Well, Daffy, those are very personal questions, and it's not something I feel comfortable talking about live on the air where other people are listening. But what you can do is we can talk about this in private, and you can go to my website at guidingechoes.com, and I have a contact me link on there. So go ahead and hit that link and send me an email, and I will do a reading for you since you called in to the show, and we'll talk about that some more. But I think that needs to be discussed privately. Is that all right with you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great.
Thanks
so I'll be
so
looking
much
forward
for,
to your
thanks,
email.
Thanks so much for calling, Daffy. It was great of you to call in, and I hope you got some good information there.
Oh, yes, I did. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Okay, I want to talk to you a little bit more, Nicole, about this. The other things you do. We've talked about your book. We've talked about the pendulum, and that's all really obviously fascinating. But I know you offer an angel healing energy technique. Can you explain that to everyone?
Oh, I love the angel healing. It is so awesome. Currently what I'm working on, or I guess the energy that I've been working with, is almost like a weight loss energy. And I've had numerous people try this, and they're all blown away by the results. But what's really cool about it is, basically, I learned how to do angel healing. I went through this whole certification course. And one of the things I struggle with for myself is my weight. And so one day during meditation, and when I was working with meeting my team of healing angels, I asked them if they could help me with my weight loss. And so that I felt them just giving me the energy I needed in order to shed the extra pounds. But a couple days later, I was really kind of disappointed because I didn't feel like anything was changing, and I had even gained a pound. I'm like, what the heck is this? That's not what I asked for. But on the third day, though, I woke up, and I had been addicted to Dr. Pepper, coffee, peanut M&Ms. I mean, I was just addicted to all this, like, not the most nutritious food. I woke up one day and I literally just didn't want any of the junk food anymore. It just disgusted me. I couldn't even think about having another Dr. Pepper or anything. And so it's been 2.5 months since I've had my Dr. Pepper, so that addiction's gone now. I haven't had peanut M&Ms in that long, and that's a big thing because I was having both of those every single day, several times a day sometimes. And
right.
So it's gone. And I even started jogging, and if you knew me a few months ago, you would know that I had no interest in jogging whatsoever. Now I've been doing that for 2 months. And so it's a healing energy that is created to help you lose weight. And it's not just about losing weight, though. It's about eliminating those things from your diet that you really shouldn't be having. And the reason that we want to eliminate those from our diet isn't just because of the havoc that it's wreaking on our bodies, but also because of what it's doing to our spirits. And because food is energy, and when you're absorbing the wrong foods, you could be absorbing the wrong energy. So if you're somebody who is, you feel like you're low on energy, you're sluggish, you find that you're getting that mental clog, could very well be because of the things that you're eating. And so what this angel energy does is it basically just cleans all of that out for you. And there may be things that you're eating that you don't even know of that just don't mesh well with your body chemistry. So after receiving this energy, you're going to intuitively know what it is that isn't working well with you, and you'll find that certain foods that used to go nuts over, you just don't want anymore. So it's really nice to just wake up one day and be over it.
Yeah. Now I have two things I have to do with you. I have to do an angel healing so I can be, really, really just healthy, skinny, and happy, and take a tarot class. So everybody that wants your tarot class information is on your website, and your obviously your book stuff is on your website, and the angel healing information is all of that posted on your website now?
It is, yes.
Okay, good. So people can sign up for the tarot class, and they can contact you for the angel healing all through that.
Yeah, and the tarot class, let me just mention that real quick because I kind of put it on a weird spot on my website this morning. If you are interested in taking a tarot class with me and with a few other people, which you should be because it's going to be a lot of fun, and learning tarot is one of the most interesting things you're going to do in your whole life, go to Nicole's blog. So go to my website at guidingechoes.com and go to Nicole's blog. And there's the very first thing you're going to see should be this long thing written about the tarot class. So it's going to be $45 for the tarot class, and it lasts for 4 weeks. It starts June 15th. It lasts for 4 weeks. There's 3 classes per week, and it's only $45, and that's really cheap. And everyone who signs up will receive a free copy of the book written by Dusty White called The Easiest Way to Learn Tarot Ever. And we're going to be going over a lot of the exercises that are in that book. So it's a great way to learn tarot. You don't have to memorize anything. We're going to learn by playing a lot of fun games. And honestly, for $45 for 4 weeks, you can't beat that. It's less than $5 a class. So go to my website at guidingechoes.com, go under Nicole's blog, and you should see it listed right there. The information's all there.
All right. Well, I'm signing up, so just absolutely send me the info that I need because I definitely want to take that one. I've been looking for somebody to teach me tarot forever. And
we found her.
I know, and I'm so happy. And now you can make me skinny, too. So, hey, I'm like – so glad you were on the show today. Yeah, I'm like, I don't want to make it all about me, but let's be honest, it kind of is. Tell me what you do with dream interpretation.
Oh, dream interpretation is a lot of fun. It's really simple. All you have to do is tell me your dreams in as much detail as you can remember it, and I will tell you what it means. So, you can order that on my website as well. Again, guidingechoes.com. You'll go to the tab that says readings, and I think it's like the fourth one on the list. So you can either discuss your dream with me on Skype. We can do a Skype session or the phone, whatever you prefer, or you can email it for me or email it to me. And I think emailing is usually best with people because sometimes when you're talking, you forget certain things. A lot of times as you're writing out your dreams, you start to remember things. And so I think the email is usually the best way to go. And that's only $15. So if you have a dream that has been bugging you because you know it means something, but you just don't know what, or it's a reoccurring dream, this is a really, really good reading to order. But I call it intuitive dream reading because I do believe that dreams are messages that need to be deciphered. And so for me, it's more of a reading than an interpretation. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, and for anybody who doesn't know, dream interpretation is, I have people that do dream interpretation all the time and on the show, and it's actually way more complicated than everybody thinks. There's so much to it, and a lot of it is about symbols, and a lot of it is about things that are going on in your life. So it's a very personal. It's a personal reading and something that we can learn so much from. I think, you know, we're basically tapping into your unconscious with, you know, through our dreams. So it's a great thing. If you have a dream, especially something that happens that either gets your attention so much that you're like, what, or that, you know, it's something that's repetitive, something that you have, you know, more than once. I think it's a great idea to contact someone like Nicole to have that figured out. It's very helpful. And using not only the symbols, but it's also using some intuitive abilities to figure it out too. You can't go wrong with all of that. So we gotta wrap it up and get ready for guest number two, where we're gonna start talking about some paranormal stuff, which is gonna be fun. But I want you to, Nicole, have a couple minutes to talk about everything, you know, how everybody can get a hold of you, what's on your website, anything you wanna talk about that we haven't covered or that you wanna reiterate.
Yeah, again, my website is guidingechoes.com. You're going to see everything I order, everything I offer is under the reading section. So you'll go to my website, www.guidingechoes.com, and on the toolbar, or that's not a toolbar, whatever it's called, you're going to see where it says readings, and that's where I offer my tarot readings, the dream interpretations, angel oracle card readings, and more. As far as if you're interested in taking the tarot class, again, go to the part where it says Nicole's blog, and that's where I have all the information listed for the tarot class, and again, that's only $45 for 4 weeks. That is really cheap, guys. And trust me, I paid a lot more than that when I was learning tarot, so this is a really great deal.
Expensive.
Yeah. And if you want to contact me, again, go to my website, guidingechoes.com. I have a section there that says contact us, and that email, whatever you put in the email box, goes directly to me. And I do check my emails all the time. You can also follow me on Twitter, and I'm just going to tell you to go through Guiding Echoes to find me on Twitter. Scroll to the bottom of the page because, as Lisa can tell you, my last name is not the easiest to pronounce or spell out. So you can find me on Twitter.
I can attest to that, but it's Guillaume. It's Guillaume, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I got it now. So, I'm going to remember it forever.
Yeah. So, there you go.
Yeah, we've been talking to Nicole Guillaume from guidingechoes.com, and I really appreciate you being on the show, Nicole. It was a lot of fun. We learned a lot, and you and I are definitely going to stay in touch because I'm like writing like notes now. Okay, have her sign up for tarot class. Have her make me skinny. You know, I'm writing all these things down. So we're going. So, I'll definitely be in touch.
Sounds good.
I really appreciate you being on the show. Love to have
you
back sometime. if you're able. So I'll be in touch with you real soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Nicole. All right, everybody, hang in there with me. We're going to take a commercial break, and then we are going to be back with a man by the name of K.W. Kessler, who runs a site called Demonology 101, and we're going to talk about some paranormal things. So if everybody can hang on with me for a couple minutes and get through a commercial break, we'll be back in just a minute.
Hi, this is Daria Ann, author and founder of the Rightstream Radio Network. If you're an author, writer, blogger, or just someone who enjoys reading and learning, I hope you'll tune in to our inspiring, insightful, and educational programs. Every Sunday, join author and metaphysician Lisa Tarvez for Just Believe at 1 p.m. Eastern, when she explores a variety of spiritual topics, including alternative healing modalities. A gifted intuitive from a young age, Lisa's book, entitled Just Believe, chronicles her journey from a childhood of seeing and communicating with angels to a career in which she uses her talents to help others emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Each week, she interviews experts in the fields of personal growth, spiritual development, and alternative medicine. Military Mondays with author and military historian John D. Gresham analyzes current events and issues from the perspective of the United States military. Tune in at 1 p.m. Eastern every Monday when John, author of such books as Uncommon Valor and journalist for the Defense Media Network, interviews accomplished guests on important topics like national security and defense and global terrorism. Rightstream Tuesdays with Daria Ann airs at 1 p.m. Eastern and welcomes authors in diverse genres, including romance, drama, military history, spirituality, and politics. We also speak social, discussing the benefits and pitfalls of social media platforms and the numerous and plentiful publishing formats now available with various experts in order to help other authors navigate through new technology to reach higher levels of success. During every broadcast, we welcome your calls at 347-945-7246. And of course, the chat room is always open. Can't listen live? No worries. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/rightstream to listen to the archives. And be sure to join us for our weekly Thursday Rightstream Twitter chat at 11 a.m. Eastern using the hashtag Rightstream on Twitter. Rejoice in the flow of creativity with the Rightstream Radio Network and the Rightstream Twitter chat.
Hi, this is Jennifer Coolidge. The American Heart Association says the disco song Stayin' Alive is the near-perfect beat for hands-only CPR. If you see a teen or adult collapse from cardiac arrest, you only need 2 steps to help save a life. Call 911 and push hard and fast in the center of the chest to the beat of the song Stayin' Alive. Disco is back and it's saving lives. To learn more, go to heart.org/hands-only-CPR.
Nationally supported by the WellPoint Foundation.
Hi, this is Lisa Tarvis. I'm a metaphysician, board-certified holistic health practitioner, energy healer, intuitive, and the author of the book, Just Believe. I'm also a host on the Rightstream Network. My radio show is called Just Believe and airs every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Please stop by my website at www.lisatarvis.com, that's LISATARVES, for details on all the services I offer, information on my book, and my radio show. There are many amazing guests and fascinating topics scheduled for the show in the upcoming months. I look forward to connecting with you soon. Hi, everyone. We are back. You are listening to Just Believe Radio on the Rightstream Network. This is Lisa Tarvis, your host. I am on my second guest of the day. This is the first show that I've had 2 guests, and so far I have not hung up on anybody, although we had a little scare earlier, but I didn't. So we're good. So anyway, really enjoy talking with Nicole. I think she had some great information for us. And now we're going to completely turn the tables around here and talk a little bit about some paranormal stuff. We're going to be talking with K.W. Kessler, who I'm going to call Kurt because that's his name. And Kurt was born in Ohio and has obtained degrees and certificates in broadcasting, communications, parapsychology, and metaphysics. And he's worked for a variety of institutions and museums. He's known for his work in debunking a wide assortment of paranormal incidents and claims, quote, common sense always is the best resolution to help in doing so, end quote. So he's got his own website called Demonology 101. He has written books called Demonology 101, Demonology 201, and I believe there's a couple of others, but we'll talk to him about that, and he can give us the names of them. So I want to introduce K.W. Kessler. Kurt, are you with me?
Yes, I am. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for being on the show. I'm trying to figure out how to run the show with two guests. And, you know, so everybody's having to suffer through a little bit with me today. But I appreciate your being on. And I find what you do fascinating. I love the paranormal. I love subjects on the paranormal. And we're going to keep this really open, so if anybody who has any questions for Kurt or whatever can please call in at 347-945-7246. Again, that's 347-945-7246. And ask questions for Kurt. If you hit one, you'll be in the queue. Also, the chat room is still open, so anybody who wants to get anything through there. So let's talk about, you know, when I was describing, when I was talking in the beginning, when I was opening the show, I said that you were a demonologist, which I don't really think is accurate, is it?
Well, no, I actually am a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. I started out as a paranormal researcher. Growing up, I was always fascinated by weird, odd, goofy stuff, if you will. And what happened was I had an incident, and that led me on the road to the paranormal. Well, about 5 years into literally taking the subject of the paranormal serious, you know, better than just checking a couple books out of the library or what have you, I had my own paranormal incident, and the screwed up part is that I wasn't looking for the paranormal. But then later on, like I said, 5 years later, I had a case that really seriously had a demonic overtone.
Wow.
And that actually was a situation that took a person who was, at that time, I guess the best way of describing it, a devout atheist, and literally woke my mind up 100% to it. And I just ended up studying on the subject. The best way I can explain my religious beliefs, if you will, is that obviously I've actually written a book that is pretty much a dissertation, if you will, on the Roman rituals. But at the same time, my brother-in-law, before his passing, happened to be the authority, if you will, on Aleister Crowley. So I always had a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. I never locked myself in, if you will, on one straight set course. So I hope that answers the question. I know it probably puzzled you or the listeners, but I'm sorry.
No, it actually does. I think it's great that, you know, you are able to talk about, you know, not just the paranormal, but about the ugly side of it. I mean, I always like to go through life thinking, oh, there really aren't any demons. You know, but tell me about some of the malevolent spirits that you have either encountered yourself or written about in your book or books.
Okay. Well, the best way of understanding malevolent spirits, if you will, is you have two different categories. You actually have malevolent spirits that are ghosts, and then you have entities that are based in the demonic, if you will. The true difference is that a ghost, obviously, it doesn't matter if it was nice or polite or whatnot, is something that was once alive, once held a tangible body, if you will. And the demonic entities, they were never truly alive. They never actually inhabited an actual solid form. They were born because of a thought process. Is the easiest way of summing that up. When it comes to the malevolent spirits that were once human, if they were basically to put Molly, if they were a bad person in real life and they happen to die and they still have those personality traits, then they're still a bad person, you know, when they cross over. The idea, if you will, is to sit there and be able to say, it doesn't matter what religious faith you follow, if you believe the universe was created by the waving of a deity's hand or not, one thing that is absolutely constant that we, even scientists, can agree is that the universe was born out of the Big Bang. And out of that Big Bang, you had a very tremendous release of energy. And some of it was positively charged, some of it was negatively charged. And as that energy spread through the universe, and all of a sudden this little creature on this planet, mankind, humans, whatever floats your boat as far as a terminology, as that being appeared on the planet, we then had to explain everything. And like I said, I'm not trying to offend anyone's religious beliefs, but even before God was a word that was spoken by people, people had many different gods. And people sat there and they started to pray to these gods. And what happened was, as they did so, imagine that positive energy or that negative energy that's floating through the universe, caused out of the Big Bang, it starts to take shape. It starts to form. And that's actually how a lot of these demonic entities actually came about. Humans actually gave them a lot of their traits. And
right.
These entities just, you know, they started to cycle around, and they became the entities that we now can honestly, we call them demons, but in all fairness, all they are is just large pools of energy.
Okay.
But like I said, they have actually taken shape.
So it's
borderline our fault.
Right. So when you're talking, like when we talk angels, we talk about angels have never been human. So demons have never been human, which I think an angel and a demon are pretty opposite. So,
right.
You've got something that as an angel, we say an angel was created by God as a messenger of God. And so a demon is basically whether or not you believe in, like you're saying, everybody's religious beliefs are different. So if you believe in a hell and you believe in a devil or Satan or whatever, you would think that the equivalent to an angel would be, I guess, a demon. So it's, you know. Everything has an opposite. Good, if there's good, there's evil. So it's the same sort of thing. Negative energy versus the positive, you know, energy that the angels are known for. What have you come across? I mean, your books, Demonology 101. What did you write about in 101 and 201?
Well, in 101, it is a basic, I kind of approach it from an academic level. 101 is like the basic introduction. I set it up to where people can learn certain aspects. As far as the book is concerned, though, one thing about it is that I've actually gotten a little bit of flack because I do actually mention in the title, you know, it's a way to banish, it is a way to summon. And a lot of people are like, well, why would you want to summon a demon? Well, I can't answer that. I don't live everybody's life. But the best way of explaining the whole summoning aspect is that I don't give people the key. I don't tell people how to find the key, but I do basically point to the door and I say, that's the door. They want the key, they got to look that up on their own. But the reality is that I just wanted to give people the basic knowledge, and especially into demonic archetypes, if you will, because much like we know angels and much like we know demons, some angels, even though they're positive-based, they are capable of doing wrong, if you will. And it's actually very much the same thing, if you will, of demons. Even though they're negative-based, they are capable of good from a certain point of view. There's a demonic entity by the name of Gap. And Gap has actually been very well known at basically torturing those that abuse children. For some reason, this entity is very protective of children. And really, when it comes to adults who abuse them, Gap has been known to actually strike out against them. There have been documented cases in which everything from humans having their legs broken to suffering even more severe physical abuse. So it really is a two-way street with that. And that's one of the many entities I made sure was actually included in the book to basically describe his archetype and, more importantly, even physical descriptions of when he supposedly has appeared. You have to remember, the only ones in the book that I have confirmed are ones that I've literally encountered directly. Anyone else, I pretty much have to go on reports. So I try to keep it. I try to keep it as logical and as sensible from that point as I can.
How do you, when you go into a situation where you're debunking, or you know, somebody calls you and they think that they've got some kind of spirit in their home or in their place of work or whatever. How do you go in there knowing whether or not it's good or evil or lost, you know, just like a lost soul or something like that? Can you feel that difference? Do you literally feel it like, you know, intuitives would? Or is there another method you go about figuring it out?
Well, the biggest thing I think about in those situations is I believe that everybody actually has that gut feeling, if you will. And sometimes, though, I think people do misconstrue certain things. Whenever I'm contacted, I usually try to, when a person contacts me, and there is a way to contact me through my website, Demon 101, I usually, first things first, look up a paranormal group in their area. And I see whether or not they've had contact with them. If not, I try to put them in contact, because I inadvertently, whenever coming to demonic cases, I don't like to fly. I actually have a friend who, he survived a plane crash, although he was actually flying out to deal with something, and he just said for some reason everything just lost power, and they couldn't even figure out what happened. So I get in the car and I drive, and my gas costs money. So
right.
Before I even get in the car, I make contact with a trusted team in their area and try to put everything in the fold like that, because I do not want to drive across this country just to deal with what turns out to be a raccoon in the attic.
Yeah, and that probably happens a lot.
Yeah, that happens. Actually happens a lot more than what people think. The best way of explaining it is that you take 100% of the cases that are reported every year as paranormal, and this can cover everything from UFOs, obviously the hauntings, to Bigfoot, to whatever. You take out of that 100%, you take 80% of it, and it can easily be something natural. And then out of that, you have about, it depends on the year, if you will. It takes about 15 to 17%. There are explanations that can lead both ways. It could lead to the paranormal. It could lead to something natural, something purely normal, not supernatural, if you will. And then out of that, you've got 3 to 5% that are actual paranormal cases. And when it comes to those, once I got verification that, yes, there is serious activity taking place at a place, I show up, I call it my little bag of goodies. And the reality is that when I show up, and I do have to acknowledge this, a lot of people have this myth and this belief that demonologists, you know, we look like Van Helsing or something, or we look like Max von Sydow or whoever out of the Exorcist, and we don't.
Right.
I'm just a goofy guy that wears bowling shirts, okay? But I show up, and a long time ago, I started out using certain artifacts that would trip off these entities, and I found cheaper, more easier, totable ways of doing this. But I still bring my little bag of goodies. And the idea when I show up is that we first have to identify, obviously, if this entity is something that could have been human or something that is purely, as I said, a demonic entity in base. And these entities, they will react a certain way. And that's actually what I'm trying to look for. I'm just trying to see if that works. And with them, they will sit there and they will react in such a way that I am able to go ahead and ascertain and then make the appropriate plan, if you will, to hopefully rid a family or a person or whoever of the situation. A true demonologist, and that's something I think a lot of people, once again, have a misconception, courtesy of TV. A true demonologist does not actually perform exorcisms. Now, I am ordained, but that's not my job. I do not do that. I got ordained for my own protection, but a true demonologist is actually supposed to ascertain the situation and choose the best course of action to rid the situation, and then more importantly, anybody else involved, give them the appropriate items or needs, if you will, to, quote, dig in, because you're facing battle. I'm trying to make sure I don't say anything wrong, because I go in and I get kind of cocky and I mouth off a bit. But then again, I have grown to realize over my 20 years of experience in this subject that when you're dealing with these entities, you're dealing with nothing but bullies. And the biggest thing about bullies is that you talk the biggest smack you can to them and mm-hmm. show no fear. Because if you do, then they're going to react and they're going to take advantage of it.
Right.
So that's pretty much how I try to deal with that, if you will.
I like the idea of demons being bullies because, you know, as a nation, at least, if not even bigger than just our nation, we're so big on squashing the theory of people being able to bully other people and to think of basically evil as being, you know, evil beings as being bullies as well. I mean, you know, it makes you be able to realize a lot of times that there are different types of bullies. You know, there are different types of bullies, but some of them are walking among us with regular old faces on, but they may not be real, you know, great people anyway.
And one thing I've always tried to actually, one of the easiest ways I've tried to explain to people that subject is take any situation in your life, you could have been back in school, it doesn't matter, where you were facing a bully, where a bully was picking on you, a bully was tormenting you, and then just take that idea, take that concept in your mind, and then multiply it for the fact that in a lot of these cases, you can't see the bully, but somehow you're getting smacked or scratched or people you know are being attacked. by this bully. And that's pretty much along the lines of what you're quote-unquote dealing with
right.
in those situations. So it can really dramatically, intensify the idea of bullying. So like I said, and really when it comes down to it, all you got to do is you just got to remain strong. As long as you show that formidable backbone that
right.
nothing that they can do is going to mentally break you, then you've already won the battle, if you will. You just got to, follow through, I guess, is the best way of explaining that.
Have you ever been involved in an exorcism? Have you ever watched one or been part of one?
I have been involved in exorcisms. I have been involved in house cleansings or property cleansings, if you will. I dare say that exorcisms, there are tricks of the trade, if you will, that you kind of have to follow. I am always apprehensive about exorcism situations because, like I said, if you use the analogy of the paranormal, you take that 3 to 5% that is actually paranormal reported every year, and then you break that down even further, about 1 out of every 200, you could possibly be dealing with a demon. It's unfortunately, because all these TV programs that have come around where they're so quick to ascertain demonic, people now sit there and automatically assume anything negative happens in their life is demonic, and they just don't accept common sense, which is, sometimes things just happen. I recently got contacted, and I had to actually sit there. I actually had to contact a few other people because I didn't think that they would take me serious. No, I had a gentleman who, over the course of 1 week, his wife left him. I feel sorry about laughing about this, but his wife had left him. I guess, his tire blew on his car, of all things. But because his wife had left him and his tire had blown, he automatically assumed he was being attacked by a demon. And I just, it's kind of hard, but sometimes you do. You have to literally face people with a straight face and sit there and say, no, maybe your wife left you for another reason, and your tire blew because it was, you were kind of cheap. Because after talking to your wife, that's actually what she said. She said you were a cheap guy, and those tires apparently had been on the car for 20 years. You kind of, like I said, it's the whole idea of using common sense. But people are automatically quick to assume that because I have negative things happening, it's got to be demonic in nature. And no, not the case. It's just called when you act negatively in your life, if you will, it's like a yin-yang. When you act negatively, you should be able to attract the positive, if you will. But the problem is no, when you act negatively, you just attract more negativity. So try to turn your life around, be positive.
That's a law of attraction working at its best right there. I mean, like attracts like, and the reverse is also true. So I think that, I think that's exactly what goes on. And believe me, I have had more than my fair share of clients who have been convinced that they had an evil entity and attacking them, some way, involved in their life not being exactly what they wanted it to be. And it's a very difficult, I find, and I'll see if you agree, it's a very difficult thing to convince someone who truly believes that there is a demon destroying or helping to destroy or having a negative influence over their life.
Yes.
It's very hard to convince somebody that truly believes that is not the case.
Right, and one of the things I always have tried to seriously do, especially in cases of exorcism, is I use certain ways, I use certain tools, if you will, to go ahead and basically try to pretty much prove that this person is it possessed. And the main reason why I say it like that is because that's actually the legitimate truth. I try to prove that they are possessed, because if I can't prove it, then chances are they're not actually possessed, and it's a case of where the person in question needs to possibly consider some mental health care. I try not to tell people that. I seriously try to talk to a lot of family members, but I have certain ways that I can literally ascertain whether or not the person is faking or not. And I've always used these methods, and in some cases, yeah, you know, it has actually gone the course, and I was proven correct that the person was suffering, and to which, you know, you get the appropriate clergy in, and you try to make sure everything is good. But in a lot of the cases, though, it is a desperate cry. It is a desperate plea for attention and help, and I think it's just part of the human condition, which is why that takes place.
Right.
You know, it's actually very sad, because you actually have to stop and you have to look at the person in question. And I don't want to say the word patient, because I'm not a doctor, but
right.
You look at them much like a patient, and you just sit there and you blatantly, when the jig is up, you kind of look at them, you clear the room, and I for my safety and security, I always leave a recording device to make sure that, you know, nothing is done stupid, but I sit there and I talk to them, and you just have to say, look, you know, I can tell you're faking, and then you explain to them, this is why I know you're faking. And it's actually kind of messed up, and I don't release any of those tapes to the general public, because seeing the reactions on people's faces when you explain to them, no, this is how, you know, I know, it is usually kind of a revelation, if you will. You can literally see it on their faces, and you just sit there and you just say, look, this is the way the situation has worked out, and I understand that you're lonely or desperate or whatever, or just need the attention, but you've got to stop it. And I try to put them in contact with a mental health care facility. Ironically, and I do feel bad about it, because at first when the situation took place, I had a fellow who was dealing with a situation with his wife. And his wife, at the time, this is the sad part, when he first contacted me, I didn't know the full range of everything. And I had actually thought I ended up destroying a marriage when everything went down. But his wife was faking demonic possession and so forth. And sat there and went in with a bunch of people from his seminary school. And ironically found out that his wife had a counselor. His counselor was there and, you know, went through the methods and checked everything out and sat there and just blatantly had to tell her, sorry, you're not with us because of certain things. And, well, I literally did. I felt horrible for the next week, because I honestly thought I destroyed a family. I honestly thought that, because, I mean, they were just divorced and this and that. But thankfully, from what I understand, she has gotten better at the subject and realized not to do that. And, well, so far, no divorce. So, you know, it is a give take. And I do apologize. I know some people right now are sitting there saying, well, what are these methods? But that's the reality. I can't say what the methods are, because if I say them, then because this is the method that I follow and a few other people follow, well, you know, it could lead to some people saying, well, I can fake possession. One method I think is actually kind of common that I can probably talk about, and I don't want to, if I have any colleagues who listen to this podcast, I do apologize right now. One method is the holy water method. And the holy water method is kind of simple. Once, like I said before, you do actually have a recording device inside the room. with the person in question and outside of the room, and you do it on camera, and you do it with verification. You take a glass, and you take your bottle of holy water, or it can be moonbeam water if you're Wiccan, and you fill up the glass with the holy water. You then take the bottle, empty bottle of holy water, and but you have to make sure it's marked that way.
Okay.
And you just fill it up with tap water. And then you carry the bottle in, and you give the glass to the person, and you say, in 5 minutes, I'm going to call out your name, tell you to bring a glass of water in, and you bring this glass in. Well, you go in, and you start reciting certain aspects to, quote, trigger the demonic activity, and then you sit there, you get the situation to calm down, you say, hang on, you need some water. So you call in the person brings in a glass of holy water, they take a couple sips, and then you basically restart everything again, having this, quote, entity come forth. Then you douse with the bottle marked holy water, but it's actually tap water. The person reacts, and then that's when you just say, okay, give me a moment alone. And that's usually, like I said, that is the easiest way of ascertaining whether or not this person is actually truly possessed. Because if they're reacting to the concept of holy water, they're not possessed. If they truly, if they were actually possessed, especially with the idea of bringing forth the entity to show itself, and then getting it to calm down, getting it to release, by them drinking the holy water, it would still actually agitate the entity. Make sense?
That's a good way to find out what's really going on. You know, I mean, if it's real or not.
Well, that's just one of the absolute basics, and I know that method has actually been employed since 1952, in the infamous St. Louis case. And it's a basic method, you know, but then again, there's a few other methods that are done. And it's a combination of all this to go ahead and verify that people have been telling the truth. And like I said, a lot of people want to know about the paranormal and want to know all the scary stuff. And the reality is, like I said, in facts and figures, 80% of the time, it's something stupid. You know, it's something like the raccoon in the attic. It's not, you're not going to walk in to anyone's house and guaranteed have a situation. You're not. It's just, it's not going to happen that way. You know, I've actually, because they have places around that sit there and tote themselves as haunted. And you go to these places, and yeah, you're not going to have experiences all the time, but you will hopefully at least treat it as a training purpose for yourself, if you're interested in investigating. But more importantly, you also have to watch out for certain places like bed and breakfasts or abandoned prisons that do tours. There are places left and right that do whatever they can to have haunted in their promotion because they want that business, you know.
Right.
You know? And you got to be leery of it.
Right.
I think one of the best cases, there's a bar and grill, and I want to say it's out in Long Beach, California. And for life of me, the name escapes me. And this whole place is rigged to do everything from weird noises to you look in the mirror and there's a motion detector and something will happen behind the mirror. And it's just, you know, it's ridiculous. But you look at the situation, you say, well, the bar happens to be well off the beaten path and they need to have people show up to spend their money. And unfortunately, you get that with a lot of places, especially in the modern economy with bed and breakfasts. Oh, man. I think it's mildly ironic. There was a bed and breakfast that was built, it's here in Ohio, and the place is down in Chillicothe. The place was actually built in 1995, and they took themselves as haunted. And I myself and at least a half a dozen, if not more, paranormal investigators that I am familiar with, we've all said, well, none of us has actually recorded anything there. However, though, they're still promoting that place as haunted because they know it will attract people to want to stay the night.
So, right.
You know, it sucks, and I might sound like a Debbie Downer, if you will, on the business, but that's what it boils down to, you know. Don't get me wrong. People are going to have personal experiences when it comes to the paranormal, and I don't discredit personal experiences. The only problem is that in the scheme of things, that's really all you had. You had a personal experience. The object here is to gain something tangible, to gain actual evidence. Now, obviously, you know about the Sandy Hook that took place back in December, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I had gotten under a lot of flack myself because I was, as far as I know, I've actually been the only, live with the team lead, if you will. I'd gotten a group of people together, and we'd actually gone to the school. We were there 3 weeks after the incident, and we were there to make recordings and to facilitate information from the investigative point of view. Also, because we know out of deep, dark tragedies, there is a massive release of this energy.
Right.
And the findings of it, all I can say is this, because I do not have access to the footage. Well, I do have access to the footage, but I do not have the media rights or the footage or anything. And let alone everything has actually been given to the parents, because it was two sets of parents that actually wanted this performed. That school is haunted. There's no way around it. The readings that we had gotten were very severe. And it did. It took a tragedy like that to unfortunately leave that imprint, if you will.
Wow.
But the, like I said, I received a lot of flack from a lot of people because they're like, I can't believe you went there. You know, how soon is too soon? And the reality is that something like this has actually taken place for as long as we've been on the planet. The Villisca axe murder, one of my critics actually had gone to the house in which the Villisca axe murder had taken place, in which a family was brutally murdered by an axe. And this took place actually in 1912. It actually, which is really funny because it took place in, I believe, June of 1912. And ironically, after April, or I'm sorry, it took place in May of 1912, even though the Titanic disaster had happened just shortly before it, the murder was, there was such an extravagant situation surrounding the case that they had sat there and it, the Titanic had actually got bumped down to lower parts in the case, or in newspapers in certain regions of the country, because they had uncovered new evidence concerning that case. It was a very powerful case, especially if you're out by Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like I said, my critic had gone to this house just recently, you know, 100 years after the fact, and had sat there and even said, you know, why would you go to the school? That's so wrong. And the reality is I'm sitting there pointing out to him, to the person that, no, 2 weeks after the tragedy in Villisca, they had psychics that showed up to spend time and do seances in the house. Okay, just because it is a greater level of tragedy does not excuse the amount of time. I actually hate to say it, especially something as horrific that took place, but it is a proven fact. The greater the tragedy, the more energy that is released. And especially with children involved, there is a giant plethora of energy that is just untapped whenever these horrible things take place. And we have actually managed to to gain some of that recorded and able to, you know, verify. But, you know, like I said, sorry.
No, I probably ran on a tangent there. No, that's all right. That's good. It's good information. I want to ask you, there are a couple of questions that are shooting around in the chat room, and I wanted to ask about a couple things. What is your feeling on the Deliverance Ministries?
Deliverance Ministries, if you ever wanted to see a good case of mind over matter, Deliverance Ministries are pretty much the mainstay of that. If you truly want to sit there and you truly want to go ahead and encounter the paranormal, encounter actual possessions, and more importantly, rid yourself of that, then, yeah, you know, stay away from that stuff. However, though, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of people that they do, like I said, it's all psychological. They need that. They need that in their life. You know, there's a gentleman by the name of Bob Larson, and this guy, don't get me wrong, you know, I respect him, I guess, as an entrepreneur. I really do respect him, because the man has made a very fine living for himself. However, for the people that I can only call the victims, if you will, I would like to know psychologically, what is it that they truly do need in their life to make it to where they don't go through with this on a repeated basis? I saw a documentary once with Mr. Larson, in which a gal out in California apparently goes to this gentleman almost every time he's in town, pays $200, you know, to have herself delivered from a demon. And the reality is that, no, she's not possessed, because I actually know someone that has performed the trick methods, if you will, for verification. She's not possessed. So it's purely a psychological issue. And the reality is, yeah, don't get me wrong, Bobby shows up and he makes his money and he that's it. But the reality is, a lot of these deliverance ministries, it's not so much a deliverance as it is, no, they're there to make money. You know, the easiest way of telling whether or not you've got a case of a person who is purely obviously trying to make money off you is when you have to pay money to walk into the door. That's one. And two, if they ever do anything other than deliverances or exorcisms, if they sit there and they act as if they're a prophet, then chances are they're always looking for a prophet. You got to be careful about that stuff. I can't stress that enough. And don't get me wrong, for some people, you know, if that's your shtick and that's what you need, you know, then who am I actually truly to argue? Everybody's got that one little thing in the world that they need to do. They need that good feeling about themselves.
All right.
And that means that, you know, if you want to take $200 and go to Disneyland, then take $200 and go to Disneyland. If you want to take $200 and have a deliverance exorcism performed on you, well, like I said, that's your shtick and go for it. Me, I'll be at Disneyland. But that's okay. Like I said, that's just me.
Right, right. What about all the paranormal TV shows that are on nowadays?
Hey, paranormal TV shows. When I started out, I actually started out with a VHS camera. I was a very young, stupid 19-year-old kid, and I started out with a VHS camera and a full audio cassette deck, and that was it. You know, it was a Polaroid camera, and now we've gotten the blessings of technology that have advanced it to where we can scatter a dark room with lasers to be able to detect movement. And I understand where the TV shows are coming from, and they're it's two-way street with them. They're a blessing, and then they're the, if for, you know, no pun intended, they're the Antichrist when it comes to getting people into this hobby. Unfortunately, there's too many people out there. They watch these shows, and they look at their buddies, and they say, hey, let's get T-shirts made, and we're a paranormal team. And
right.
I kind of hate to say it, really, when it comes down to it, no, that's not the way. And these are actually, first and foremost, when I get contacted by teams, I've noticed that these are usually the teams that end up contacting me because they wander into a situation which is actually dark and malevolent, and they're completely lost. And they're usually the first team to contact me, and you can hear the fear in their voice because they've encountered something and they ain't used to it. The idea behind doing all this is that you have to remember what you see on TV is actually made for TV. It is made for entertainment. All right, it is not made for a documentary, if you will, of a situation. It is made there to entertain. And one of the first things they do is they turn the lights out. Now, like I said, I started out with VHS cameras. Now, with VHS cameras, you couldn't turn the lights out. You know, if you turned lights out, you didn't see anything. And I remember I got my first VHS camera that had cat's eye, and I don't know if anybody out there is technology blessed. I know what that meant. Cat's eye was just a setting that you could use as VHS tapes. So instead of having five lights on in a room, it meant you could turn one of them off, possibly two, just so, and you could see better. You couldn't turn the lights out. So a lot of people do that now when they get involved in these paranormal groups. They go to places and they automatically turn the lights out. And the reality is, I kind of hate to tell you this, it doesn't matter if it's daytime, nighttime, light or dark. If there is something there, you're going to, you will experience it, okay?
I agree.
When you turn the lights out, and especially if you're in an abandoned structure, if you're in a dark, abandoned structure, you could have plaster fall from the ceiling in another room at the other end of the facility, and you're going to hear that noise, and your mind fills in the gaps. And that's the reason why that is a bad idea. Leave the lights on, or try to light the place up. Another thing that kind of gets me is there are way too many people out there right now, in this, you know, industry, if you will, and they're posting videos or pictures of orbs, but each and every one of them, they're not using an orb cam. An orb cam, and there's a really good version of it. It's actually called the X-Cam. I'm not trying to promote it. I'm just explaining what it's called. It's called the X-Cam. It's from a company called Digital Dowsing. If you use a DVR system while you're actually out investigating, the X-Cam actually has three camera lenses on it. One, it's got an infrared. Two, it's got a full spectrum. And the third camera on the unit is actually just a regular camera. And a regular camera combination like that is called an orb cam. What happens is people sit there, a piece of dust will fly in front of the lens, and you'll see it on the infrared and maybe the full spectrum, and because it's illuminated by, you know, a searchlight or whatever, that just is set up for that, the light will reflect off that piece of dust back into lens. Well, you know, being a spiritualist, I'm sure you realize that a true orb is a ball of energy.
Right.
And this ball of energy is actually very luminescent. So, in a darkened room, especially if that's what you're doing, in a darkened room, then that ball of energy should reflect into the regular camera, which does not have any lighting source. And that's the first way to fact check any orb. But it still amazes me because these goons on TV do it. Everybody goes out and gets a night vision camera, or they get in for a full spectrum or whatever, and they get this piece of dust, or they get they get an insect. And the reality is that it doesn't, it's not real, you know. And then I also, is another thing that's kind of hard to get through, especially with a lot of people, is that a lot of people, they get their evidence, and then you kind of critically take that evidence apart, because the object here is to prove it real. And if you can't do that, you know, then you're left with it. So you're sitting there, you're explaining certain things, and it amazes me. I mean, granted, we're human beings, and that's who we are, but it amazes me at how these people get offense to the fact that when you sit there and you basically debunk their quote evidence, you know, because
right.
they will swear to you a million times over. No, this is an orb. No, this is a shadow. There's a paranormal group down in Ponchula, Louisiana, and they sat there. They went to the Myrtles Plantation, and they swore left and right on a certain photograph that there was an object that was a shadow person. And I'm sitting there because I had been there. I'm posting photographs of the very same area, but from different angles, proving this thing was a bush.
Right.
I received a lot of criticism by them for that. And then later on, they went back, and I found out after the fact, because there were some words, and I found out after the fact that, no, they had gone there, and they even had to admit it was a bush. However, though, I won't lie, if I have a person contacting me out of that area, and they sit there and they believe that they're under demonic attack, I don't call, let's just say I don't call their paranormal group there. I try to call, like I said, one that's actually got some credibility. I appreciate the fact that they, you know, finally came clean, their shadow person wasn't, but and one of the biggest things about it is, especially in this industry, is that once you've been caught lying, that's it. There's nothing that you can do as far as evidence later on in the future.
Right.
That's going to truly win people over. You know, a lot of people in the paranormal, it is political.
Right.
There is a lot of politics.
Everything comes down to politics, I think, in so many different ways. I have another question in the chat room, and then we're running out of time, so I want to give you a few minutes to talk about how people can get a hold of you and how they can get a hold of get a hold of your books and things like that. But the one question is, we were talking about paranormal TV shows. Do you think that the shows have helped or hindered the science that's involved in the paranormal investigation field?
Well, as far as the science, actually, I do believe it actually has helped. I mean, don't get me wrong. When you go to a lot of these abandoned structures, you need to rely on night vision. But I think it's more of the mainstay. Like I said, it's more of the mental acceptance, especially for the groups and the people that watch these shows. Like I said, you have to take it from that point of view that it is purely entertainment.
Right.
Back to the science, though, of it, yeah, I believe it has actually become a bit of a blessing because when you look at some of the early pioneers, if you will, paranormal research, people like Ed Warren, he was starting out, and back then, you know, we didn't have K2 meters. We didn't have all this electronic recording, and let alone even the theories behind it weren't even around to say, well, if there's a high amount of EMF, then a entity can use this as a battery, or it could actually even possibly show that there is an entity. That theory wasn't even around. So in the ideas of seeing these different teams use these devices that get released on the market, good God, yes, it is a positive scientific launch because at least it hopefully introduces newer theories and newer ideas, and more importantly, new equipment comes out of these theories. That is the absolute mainstay, because you got to remember, 100 years ago, when they were trying to look for ghosts, they were using a dowsing rod.
Right.
Now, nothing against people that use dowsing rods, or like even with your former guest that uses crystals on a pendulum.
Yeah, the pendulum. Yeah, pendulum, right.
Yeah, nothing against that, but the problem is that scientifically, we can't record anything out of that.
Right.
You know, sure, we can write the readings down, or we could video record it, but it lacks that push, that tangible push, if you will. So, you know, I like I said, as far as these shows are concerned, scientifically, yeah, I give them I give them 100% push. But they also, you know, entertainment-wise, you know, some people, they get a little bit ahead of themselves.
Right. Right, I agree. There are lots of different. I have to admit, I like to buy all the little gadgets myself. You know, it's kind of fun.
It's kind of fun to
you know, I have a K2 meter, and it's just fun. If you know, if you're interested in that sort of thing, it's pretty fun. Okay, now that we're down to the last 5 minutes or so, I want to give everybody your information, what you do, what you're able to do. Your website is demon101.com, and tell everybody what books you have out and what anything else you want them to know.
Okay, well, my website is demon101.com. You can read my blog, which is poorly updated because much like our contact information, I didn't get any of your emails really until today because I wasn't even near my computer. My blog is poorly updated, but I do try to throw hopefully interesting tidbits out there. When it comes to my books, Demonology 101 is basic overview. Demonology 201 is currently out there, and that is actually a book that is basically every cycle of banishment that I have found from all beliefs, even including demonic banishment from the level of Satanism. I have another book, which is, like I said, more of a dissertation, if you will, on the Roman rituals. I try to include every known Roman ritual that has actually been put out there, everything from the rites of exorcism to even the blessing of the sacraments and even a blessing that the church commissioned for beer. I literally tried to make sure this was complete. I also have a little gag project I worked on for the fans of Ghostbusters. It was basically a real version, if you will, of Tobin Spirit Guy. So the Ghostbusters fans actually get a kick out of that one. There is one thing, though, if you're going to buy my books, please do yourself a favor. I do have some links posted in on my page. However, though, you might have better luck by going to Amazon.co.uk. Right now I'm dealing with, say, licensing rights in my country. Therefore, these books are stupendously expensive. However, though, in the United Kingdom, they're cheaper. So if you can, just go from there.
All right. That sounds great. I appreciate your being on the show. We learned a lot. It was a fascinating topic, and people really get excited about this stuff. So I really appreciate your being on and hope to have you back on sometime.
All right. Well, thank you. I'd love to come back.
Thanks, Kurt. Great talking to you.
Right. You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, everyone, this has been another great episode of, if I do say so myself, of Just Believe Radio. You can listen to the show every week on Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern, and every week we'll have lots of different types of topics. Next week, we're going to have two different topics. One is going to be regenerating the body with healing and conscious matrix communication, and the other is we're going to have a psychic it's going to be on we're going to talk to. She has Celtic roots, so it should be really interesting, and I'll be sending out emails with that information in it as soon as within the next hopefully day or so. So anyway, again, everyone, happy Memorial Day weekend. Thank you to all our veterans and current serving soldiers. Don't forget to check out my webpage when you get a chance. It's www.lisatarvis.com. You'll find my links to Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and all the other social networks, as well as links to where you can find my book, Just Believe. Until next week, everyone, have a happy and safe weekend and week, and thanks for listening, and have a great week. Thanks. Bye.
It is- is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.